This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to set boundaries with demanding colleagues without harming team synergy. Say no without shutting down the collaboration your team depends on. In short, this article contains 7 scripts for setting boundaries with demanding colleagues while protecting the collective momentum your team has built. Declining an additional request without damaging goodwill. Addressing a colleague who repeatedly ignores your stated limits. Responding when your boundary is challenged or dismissed. Definition: setting boundaries with colleagues is the practice of communicating clearly and directly what you can and cannot take on, so that professional relationships stay grounded in mutual respect and realistic expectations, and team synergy is protected rather than eroded by unchecked demands. There's a moment I remember clearly. A colleague dropped a last-minute request on my desk at 4:30 on a Friday, and I said yes, again, because I did not have the words ready to say anything else. The weekend cost me, the work suffered, and by Monday I was quietly resentful of someone who genuinely did not know what they had done. Setting boundaries with colleagues is one of the places where the right words make the most immediate difference. When you have a script, you stop scrambling and start responding. That is what this article gives you: 7 ready-to-use scripts drawn from the deal and strong frameworks I detail in Say It Right Every Time for protecting your limits without damaging the collaborative trust your team depends on. Find the script that fits your situation. Read the context note. Practice it out loud at least twice before you use it. If you are also dealing with a conflict but has already broken into the open, how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy covers the territory in detail. How to use these scripts. Before you use any of these scripts, follow these steps. Number 1. Find the situation that matches yours. Number 2. Read the full script and the context note before speaking or writing. Number 3. Adapt the words to your natural voice. Keep the structure. Change the tone. Number 4. Practice out loud at least twice. Scripts read differently than they sound. The most common mistake people make with word-for-word scripts is reading them verbatim without adjusting for the relationship or the moment. A script delivered like a prepared statement sounds defensive, not confident. Read it, absorb it, then speak it as yourself. The structure carries the weight. Your voice carries the trust. Script 1. Declining an additional request. Situation: a colleague asks you to take on something new when you are already at capacity. This is a first or second request, not yet a pattern. The stakes are moderate and the relationship is generally positive. Why this works? It names the constraint clearly, without over-explaining or apologising. Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time makes this plain. Every time you say no to something that is not right for you, you're saying yes to something that is. The script frames your refusal as a quality decision, not a personal one, which keeps the team relationship intact. Standard version: I've had a look at what's on my plate right now, and I'm not going to be able to give this the attention it needs. I don't want to take it on and do it poorly. Can we talk about who else might be positioned to take the lead on this, or whether the timeline has any flexibility? Formal version: I have reviewed my current commitments, and I'm not able to take this on without compromising the quality of work I am already responsible for. My priority is to deliver strong results on my existing projects. I would be glad to discuss alternative resourcing or timeline options if it would be helpful after you use it. A good response is a nod, a brief discussion about alternatives, or a simple acknowledgement. If the colleague pushes immediately, move to script 4. Do not fill the silence with justification. Eamon's note: the moment you over-explain a no, you teach the other person that your limits are negotiable. Script 2. Naming a pattern that is affecting your output. Situation: the same colleague has made repeated demands over several weeks, and the cumulative effect is hurting your ability to contribute to the team. This is a direct, calm conversation about a pattern, not a single incident. Use a one-to-one, not in a group setting. Why this works? It separates the person from the problem, which is a core principle in the deal method from Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time. Define the issue clearly before exploring solutions. Naming the pattern without accusation gives the other person somewhere to go other than defensiveness. If you are finding these conversations difficult to start at all, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy walks through that first step carefully. Standard version: I want to talk about something that has been building for a while. Over the past few weeks, I've noticed I'm regularly picking up requests that fall outside what I'm responsible for, and it's starting to affect the work I'm actually meant to be focused on. I'm not saying you're doing this deliberately. I just need us to get clearer on how we divide things up so I can do my job well and we can both contribute properly to the team. Formal version. I'd like to address something I have been observing over the past several weeks. I have taken on a number of tasks that sit outside my defined responsibilities, and the cumulative effect is beginning to impact my capacity to meet my primary commitments. I want to approach this constructively because I believe a clear division of responsibilities will allow both of us to contribute more effectively to our shared goals. Casual version. Hey, I need to flag something. I've been taking on a lot of things that aren't really mine to carry, and it's starting to pile up. I know you're not trying to make life hard for me. Can we just work out a clear split so we both stay on top of things? After you use it, look for acknowledgement and a genuine willingness to discuss the division of work. If the colleague becomes defensive, slow down and ask what they see differently, using the journalist's curiosity the deal method calls for in its explore step. If they dismiss the concern entirely, bring in your manager or consider how to mediate between two team members to preserve group synergy. Eamon's note. Unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. Name the pattern early, while you can still do it calmly. Script 3. Holding a limit when pressed in the moment. Situation. You have already said no. The colleague is pressing you again, in real time, sometimes in front of others. You need one clear sentence that holds the position without escalating the tension or damaging team cohesion. Why this works. Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time includes this exact context. I understand it's a priority for you, but I'm not able to take it on at this time. One sentence. No apology. No elaboration. Repetition of a calm, brief statement signals confidence, not stubbornness. Elaboration signals that the limit is up for discussion. Standard version. I hear you, and I understand this matters. My answer is still no. I'm not able to take this on right now without it affecting the rest of my commitments to the team. Formal version. I understand this is a priority for you. My position remains the same. I'm not able to take this on at this time without compromising my existing responsibilities. I'm happy to discuss alternative options if that would be useful. After you use it. If a colleague accepts, move on without further comment. If they escalate or make it personal, name what you notice. I can see this is frustrating for you. I'm still not in a position to change my answer, but I'm open to finding another path forward. Do not match their energy. Eamon's note. The second no is always harder to say and always more important than the first. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Script 4. Addressing passive-aggressive pressure. Situation. A colleague is applying pressure indirectly through pointed comments, loaded emails, or remarks in group settings that imply you're not pulling your weight. This is a quiet, but real threat to team trust and collective momentum. Why this works. The SBI method from Say It Right Every Time applies here. Name the situation, the specific behavior, and the impact, without labeling the person's intent. Bringing indirect pressure into the open removes its power. Leaving it unnamed allows it to fester and quietly corrode the group's ability to work well together. For more on how these silent tensions undermine collaboration, see why avoiding difficult conversations is the hidden enemy of team synergy. Standard version. I noticed your comment in the meeting about people not stepping up. I want to check, was that directed at me? If it was, I'd much rather we talk about it directly. I'm genuinely open to that conversation, and I think it would serve us both better than leaving it in the air. Formal version. I wanted to follow up on the comment made in this morning's meeting regarding workload distribution. If that remark was intended for me, I would appreciate the opportunity to discuss it directly rather than through inference. I believe a direct conversation will be more productive for both of us and for the team. After you use it, most people, when named calmly and without accusation, will either clarify that the comment was not directed at you or acknowledge the tension and agree to talk. Either outcome is progress. If they deny it flatly and the behavior continues, document the pattern and consider involving your manager. Eamon's note. Indirect pressure only works in the dark. A calm, direct question brings it into the light where it cannot survive. Script 5. Setting a limit around your time and availability. Situation. A colleague regularly expects immediate responses, drops work on you outside agreed hours, or treats your schedule as fully available to them. This is a boundary about time and access, not just about tasks. Why this works? Clarity about availability is one of the clearest ways to prevent the unmet expectations that Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time identifies as the root cause of most workplace friction. Unspoken availability expectations become resentments fast. This script states the boundary as a professional standard, not a personal preference, which makes it easier to receive and to sustain. Strong team synergy depends on everyone knowing what they can reliably expect from each other. Standard version. I want to be straightforward with you about how I work best. I check messages in the morning and after lunch. I'm not able to respond to things in the evening or over the weekend unless we've agreed it's urgent. I'm not stepping back from the team. I'm just being honest about what works for me so I can actually do good work. Formal version. I want to be transparent about my working practices because I think it will help us collaborate more effectively. I manage my communications during core working hours mornings and early afternoon. Requests that arrive outside those windows will receive a response the following working day unless we have agreed in advance that something is time critical. I'm fully committed to the team's shared goals within those parameters. Casual version. Just so you know, I try to protect my evenings and weekends. If something lands then, I'll get to it first thing the next day. It's not about the work. It's just how I keep myself functioning properly. After you use it, most colleagues will respect a clearly stated working pattern, especially where it is framed around quality rather than preference. If the pattern of after-hours contact continues, refer back to this conversation specifically. We talked about this on date. My availability hasn't changed. Eamon's note. The people who most need to hear this limit are the ones who have never thought about how often they cross it. Script 6. Giving feedback to a colleague whose demands are affecting the whole team. Situation. A colleague's demands on you are beginning to affect the wider group, either by pulling shared resources, creating bottlenecks, or creating visible tension in team settings. This requires a feedback conversation, not just a personal boundary. For guidance on delivering this kind of message in a way that strengthens rather than fractures the group, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is the companion piece to this script. Why this works? The SBI structure keeps the conversation factual. You are not commenting on who they are. You are describing what happened in a specific situation and naming the impact on the team's shared work. That distinction matters. It gives the other person something to change, rather than something to defend. Standard version. I want to give you some feedback, and I'm doing it because I think it will help us both. In specific situation, when specific behavior, it created specific impact on the team. I'm not raising this to make you feel bad. I'm raising it because I think if we can address it together, we'll work better as a group. Formal version. I would like to share some feedback with you regarding a recent pattern I have observed. In specific situation, when specific behavior occurred, the result was specific impact on the team's work or dynamic. I raise this constructively and in good faith. I believe that addressing it directly will allow us to maintain the collaborative standard the team depends on. After you use it, give them time to respond before you add anything further. A good response is curiosity or acknowledgement. A difficult response is defensiveness or dismissal. If it is the latter, slow down. I hear that this is hard to hear. Can you tell me what you see differently? This is the journalist's mindset the deal method calls for. You are exploring, not winning. Eamon's note. Feedback delivered with care is an act of respect, not aggression. It tells the other person you believe they are capable of better. Script 7. Repairing the relationship after a boundary conversation. Situation. A boundary conversation, however well handled, can leave a residue of awkwardness or distance. This script is for the follow-up a brief, direct check-in that reaffirms the working relationship without reopening the original issue. Use it 1 to 3 days after the initial conversation. You can also find a full framework for this kind of repair in how to apologize to a team member in a way that actually restores synergy. Why this works? The bridge method in Say It Right Every Time includes reaffirming the relationship as an essential step after any difficult exchange. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested. Skipping this follow-up leaves the other person uncertain about where they stand, which is one of the quietest ways to damage team cohesion over time. Consistent group momentum depends on people feeling settled with each other, Not Walking on Eggshells, Standard Version.
I wanted to check in after our conversation the other day. I know it wasn't easy, and I appreciate you hearing me out. I value working with you, and I want to make sure we're in a good place.
Is there anything you want to add or clear the air on? Formal Version.
I wanted to follow up on the conversation we had earlier this week. I recognise it was a direct exchange, and I appreciate your willingness to engage with it. I remain committed to our working relationship and to our shared contribution to the team.
Please let me know if there is anything further you would like to discuss after you use it. Most colleagues will respond with relief.
The check-in itself signals that you regard the relationship as worth tending. If the colleague is still cool or guarded, let it settle.
You have done your part. If the tension persists beyond a week, consider whether a third-party mediation would serve the team, using their approach and scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy.
Eamon's note. The follow-up is not weakness. It is the thing that turns a hard conversation into a lasting understanding.
Adapting these scripts for your situation. Every script in this article is a starting point, not a final word.
The structure carries the principle. Your voice carries the relationship.
Adjust for relationship length.
A script for a colleague you've worked with for 5 years will sound different from one directed at someone you met 3 months ago.
The longer the relationship, the more warmth you can bring to the delivery without losing directness.
Match the register to the stakes.
Use the formal version for conversations that involve your manager, HR, or a senior stakeholder.
Use the standard version for peer-level conversations.
Use the casual version only with colleagues where warmth and informality are already part of how you communicate.
Remove any phrase that does not sound like you.
If a sentence makes you wince when you say it out loud, it will make the other person wince too.
Cut it.
The core of every script is a clear statement of your limit and a reason grounded in the work, not in personal preference.
Keep that core.
Rebuild the rest in your own language.
Shorten where possible.
In practice, the most effective limits are delivered in fewer words than you think you need.
If your version of a script runs longer than the original, cut it by a third.
Length signals anxiety.
Brevity signals confidence.
The goal is for these words to sound like a better, more prepared version of you, not like someone else.
Common mistakes when using scripts for setting limits.
The biggest way these scripts fail is not in the words.
It is in the delivery.
When people read a script without absorbing it, the words land flat and the message does not.
Reading verbatim without adaptation.
The script is a skeleton.
If you deliver it word for word without adapting to the relationship and the room, it sounds rehearsed in the wrong way.
Practice until it sounds like you thought of it in the moment.
Over-explaining after the boundary is stated.
Once you have named the limit, stop.
Every sentence you add after the clear statement weakens it.
The other person hears the elaboration as negotiation.
Apologising before or after the limit.
I'm sorry, but I just can't start with an apology for existing.
You do not owe an apology for having limits.
Remove it.
Choosing the wrong register for the relationship.
Using a formal script with a trusted peer can feel cold and create distance.
Using a casual script in a high-stakes conversation with leadership can undermine your credibility.
Match the register to the relationship,
skipping the follow-up.
A boundary conversation without a follow-up leaves the other person uncertain.
Uncertainty erodes team trust over time.
Use script 7 to close the loop.
A script is a tool.
Use it like one with skill, not rigidity.
Frequently asked questions.
What does setting boundaries with colleagues mean for team synergy?
Setting boundaries with colleagues means communicating clearly what you can and cannot take on so that expectations stay realistic and resentment does not build.
When done with care, it protects team synergy by preventing the overload and friction that quietly erode collective momentum over time.
How do you set a boundary at work without damaging team relationships?
Set the boundary on the work, not the person.
Focus on your capacity and the quality of your output, not on the colleague making the request.
Scripts that name the constraint rather than blame the person keep the professional relationship intact and preserve team cohesion.
When is the right time to set a boundary with a demanding colleague?
The right time is before resentment builds, not after it has.
Address the pattern early, ideally at the next request, not after months of absorbing the overload.
Early boundaries are easier to set and far easier for the other person to hear without feeling judged.
What if a colleague pushes back after I set a boundary?
Hold the position calmly and briefly.
One short sentence, repeated if needed.
I understand this is a priority for you, but I'm not able to take this on right now.
Do not over-explain or apologise. Over-explaining signals uncertainty, and uncertainty invites more pressure. Can setting boundaries actually improve team synergy instead of harming it? Yes, consistently. Boundaries create clarity about roles and capacity, which are the roots of strong team synergy. When every person knows what they can rely on from each colleague, the team stops operating on assumption and starts operating on trust, which is far more sustainable. How do I set limits with a demanding colleague who is also my friend? Use a warmer register, but keep the same structure, name the constraint, offer an alternative if genuine, and close with care for the relationship. Friendship is not a reason to absorb unreasonable demands. Clear limits protect the friendship as much as the work. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.